Guardians win last night 7-5. We're going to get back to that here in just a moment. I promise you that. That is a solemn promise to you, my friends. Because it was one of the greatest moments I've ever seen watching professional baseball or really watching Cleveland sports. And that's not embellishing. I'm dead serious because before that, with the home runs that happened that the Yankees hit, it was the worst moment I ever dealt with. But real quick, by the way, you said, I hate to say this, but Emmanuel Clase seems to be posting through it right now.
Yeah, obviously the mentions were not very good for him. You know, Guardians fans thought it was over. They thought the season was over. So they probably took to social media, let him have it a little bit, and as did most likely the Yankee fans. So probably wasn't in a great place, great headspace last night. And John Boy Media picked up on it that he was Instagram living all his accomplishments. He has a bunch of rings and all MLB, something about all his saves. So that is how he decided to cope with what went on last night. That was a win, though. See, that's a tough thing. Like, does he feel as much a part of that win as everybody else? That does have to be a tough one, right?
It's such
You don't get the great ending if he doesn't do what he did.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
He was part of it. But we needed him to screw up.
It's weird because we always say football is the ultimate team game. In so many ways, it's like, man, you get these moments, you better fill them out. Because there's no more. Damn it. There's so many things that move during a football game. But when you get to baseball, it's like you hit these little moments where you have to perform. And they're done in split seconds. And if you don't perform, it costs everybody. It costs everybody. And for a guy like Emmanuel Clase, he's been fantastic throughout this entire season. For a guy like Emmanuel Clase, yeah, last night had to be terrible. It had to be terrible. I'm glad they won. I hope that he didn't get too worked up over it. I hope he can put it away and get ready for tonight because they're going to need him again tonight. They're going to need him again tonight. And anytime a guy, I'm still steadfast on that. Anytime a guy gives up a save, like, yeah, man, like, you know, we got to talk about it because they don't just all of a sudden, it's not over a long period of time. It's got to start at some point. So with Emmanuel Clase, I still have faith in him. It still needs to be discussed. I don't know if I'd bring him out in the eighth, but again, I don't know if I'd be left with any other choice if I'm Stephenville. All right, now on to the other thing here. So it seemed yesterday, Mayor Bibb was tough talking. He came out, got ahead of it. Seemed that yesterday, we were getting some words yesterday morning that might be an announcement tomorrow, meaning Friday. And the mayor decided, you know what, 2:30, going to be talking. Went right out there.
Let's get out in front of this.
He seemed very upset, Anthony. Now, we have Daryl at 8:30. Daryl was tough talking towards the city.
Yeah.
Now, Daryl is a City of Cleveland resident and has been for 20 years, and at times has been happy, and at times we remember the whole Leaf thing a couple of years ago that we got him spun up on that still gets Daryl going. Daryl can be very, very, very critical of what goes on in the city, and he was critical yesterday. You see this differently. I think I agree with you, but I want to let you take the lead on this. You're the man who's covered the
statehouse. By the way, people should be critical of politicians. People should hold their feet to the fire, and that's the job they signed up for. That's the job that they ran for. I would hope that somebody like Mayor Bibb, or, you know, we have Ed Orkin on. We have some tough questions for him, or anybody associated with this. By the way, the Haslams, everybody involved, Cleveland, you know, Cuyahoga councilmen, like all of these individuals, this is what they do. They work for you. So this shouldn't be something where you should just let everybody off the hook. But with that said, I heard everybody just going off on Bibb and the City of Cleveland yesterday, and they were bringing a lot of politics into it that I don't think matter in this case. I think this announcement yesterday, I think to me, this was the best of both worlds. This is finally the opportunity for this region to have a world-class facility that can host year-round events of all kinds that are going to bring so many people into this city and this county and this region. And I also think this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to finally develop the lakefront in a way that makes sense for a lot of people. So this to me
an
is
an opportunity, though. Like, that's why, you know, I know what you want to say to Daryl, and we'll give him that chance at 8:30 today because we have the mayor of Brook Park joining us on the show at 8 o'clock. Like, I want Daryl to have that opportunity here because, you know, that when you say the word opportunity, there's been a lot of opportunity that's fallen through over the last 100 years. And so I don't necessarily blame a guy. I agree with you. I think that everybody kind of got what they wanted. And I know that the mayor has to go up there and talk tough because he's the second mayor that lost the Browns. And, you know, we make the jokes about, well, now he has to open up an alpaca farm. Sorry, them's the rules. Yeah, I know he has to talk tough, but I do believe in my heart secretly this is kind of what he wanted. I do. I don't think it was that much of an effort to keep them here. I think the Haslams got what they wanted. They
yes.
get a huge tract of land.
Yes.
They get to control all that.
They
and I
get
think
to monetize the Browns in a way they've never been able to monetize the Browns. Of course the
yes.
Haslams are thrilled and pumping their fist today.
Now, the city, to me, has the opportunity to put something there that's longstanding, not just 10 times a year with some concerts and things like that, that can have a steady stream of tax throughout time. But the word opportunity there is a scary word because there's been plenty of opportunities that have been thrown around in the city of Cleveland that just haven't come to fruition.
Oh, that's...
And I'm not making
yeah.
anything about the road over there on 10. I'm not talking about that.
No, that's for sure. I'll just say this. If anybody's been paying attention over the last 5-plus years, this is even during COVID that this stuff was going on. This region and this downtown has actually had pretty unparalleled, if you look at towns like this, unparalleled development in downtown. Now, we can sit there and argue, are the taxpayers had some undue burden or whatever. I'm just telling you, when it comes to development, like when you look at, we have three new skyscrapers in the last 5 years. We have another phase of the East Bank. We have a $3 billion development plan that we were just championing on the riverfront. That is going on. You have at least two new hotels. One that hasn't made an announcement yet, but I can tell you it's going to happen. Two new world-class hotels that are going to be opening up. And if you get this dome in Brook Park, wait till you see what happens. We've had cranes in downtown Cleveland. There were like 20 years where there were no cranes in downtown Cleveland.
Yeah.
The last 5-plus years, again, when I say unparalleled development for a town of this size, just ask the people in Pittsburgh how much they would die to have that kind of development that Cleveland has had. So you're asking, is there actually going to be development on the waterfront? I can tell you because I've talked to the developers. They are pumped for that stadium to get raised and for them to have the opportunity to build something that they just haven't had. Right now, there's a parking lot and a stadium that gets used 10 times a year. Guys, that is going to be housing. That's going to be potentially retail. There'll be a park.
Yes,
there
I hope.
Might be a soccer stadium.
I hope.
This now opens up opportunities that, quite frankly, they haven't had. So, you know, everybody was crushing Bibb. Yes, there's plenty of reasons to crush every mayor in every urban area in the country, and this is just another one for them. I'm telling you that 5 years from now, you will think differently on that, at least when
I
it comes
so.
To that waterfront
I really,
area.
Really, 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 really hope so. Which, by the way, in 5 years, it'll be just the beginning of it because, I mean, yeah. it's going to take 5 years to get this whole thing up.
Oh, yeah.
By 2029,
but you'll see what is going to be an actuality because people are chomping at the bit to be able to do something like that, and they'll have the ability. I'd even mention the flats, the other phase that they're going to have down there. Mm. Like this isn't happening in cities this big. People have to understand that. So everybody, I know a lot of people live in the suburbs. They don't want to come downtown. They watch their cable news network and they think there's just crime every day. There isn't. There's actually a lot of good things going on. So I think people have to understand that this is going to be the best of both worlds. You're going to get your world-class facility that we've never had that is going to attract events. And what are you doubting our Greater Cleveland Sports Commission and our Tourism Bureau? Have you been paying attention to what they've been able to bring to this town? Like a lot of places are jealous. A lot of places are envious of what Cleveland's been able to pull out of the last 5 to 10 years. And now this paves the way for so much more. There is one little catch in all this, and this is why we're going to talk to Ed Orchid and eventually the Browns. How are they paying for this? So this is going to be a big detail that I'm not going to gloss over. Like we do need to get the devil in the details here. Like we have to find out. But if they pull this off, I think it's going to be the best of both worlds.
All right, here's Mayor Bibb saying he is disappointed in Browns ownership.
Our vision for redeveloping the lakefront is becoming a reality. And more businesses are choosing to invest in our great city. The Haslam's choice to move the team away from this progress is frustrating and profoundly disheartening. When the Haslam's shifted course and abandoned the renovation plans, we pivoted to explore options for a new stadium and offered to make a portion of Burke Lakefront Airport available to the team for redevelopment to include a new dome stadium, and adjacent development, comparable, arguably better, than the vision the Haslam Sports Group has proposed for Brook Park. However, the organization was not interested in pursuing this option.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, this was always the best setup for the Haslams. I mean, this just was. I people are dumping on Bibb and Cleveland for this. You do realize, like, the Haslams, to have something downtown, to have something like that and that kind of space downtown, you would have had to have real estate developers get out of the way to just hand over their land to the Haslams. They weren't willing to do that. The Haslams getting out to be able to monetize the Browns and that venue in a way they never could before. So the Haslams are loving this. They never wanted to stay in Cleveland. Why would they want to stay in Cleveland? What? And by the way, what has the city gotten out of having the Browns on the lakefront? What have they had other than hassles, having to staff it so much more for an understaffed police, you know, group to begin with? Mm-hmm. Like, this is the city having the Browns is not the
That's
boom that
I
people think it is.
I do think there's a lot of, from what I've heard, and you hear more on this stuff than me. You're more into the civics than I am. I get that, but from what I've heard, you know, there's a lot of posturing, there's a lot of tough talk, but they got what they wanted here. They did. That's what I'm told. 216-474-0092. What's the bigger game on Sunday? The game against the Bengals or the shell game with the fans? Because I brought this up last week. You going to announce the offense?
I think that was going to be the goal with Nick Chubb being in the starting lineup.
So they have the introductions before the game. And, you know, they do it one by one. At right tackle, number 79 from Ohio State, DeJuan Jones. And they blow off the torches, and yay, all right. Problem is, what are you going to do when the quarterback comes out?
They've got to do it really quick. They've got to make sure that Chubb gets his...
So how about this?
And then Deshaun Watson.
And at running back, out of the University of Georgia, number 24, Nick Chubb! And a quarterback, number 4, Deshaun Watson.
Joel Bitonio.
Yeah.
Let's get the fan favorites.
Nick Chubb! Deshaun Watson. And at guard, he is a double-digit year vet. I think it's 10. Hey, 6-9 Pro Bowler. Hey, look over here.
Not over there.
75. Yo, over here, everybody.
Guys, here.
Joel Bitonio. Can Myles Garrett be announced on offense? What do they do?
Maybe they just try to do like the captains. They don't do the offense defense like the captains that are out there for the coin toss.
Every player that's been on the roster since 2018. None of the rest of them get announced.
You know what? Joe's back in the States. Let's fly Joe in.
Yeah, there you go.
Anytime you're in doubt, you need the fans on your side, you bring in Joe. That's the way it goes.
Throw Josh Cribbs out there. What a great time to honor the legends. Let's get Phil Dawson.
Zach Wilde's going to be there. Black Label Society. Guitarist Rossi.
Yep.
He'll be pulled by a team of white stallions on a chariot. We'll have that. That's going to be going well. Do you announce the defense and then announce Nick Chubb? I mean, you can do whatever you want. I don't think any of that's like when it comes to baseball, people don't realize it's official. Like, the PA announcer, Bob Taic, has to announce pinch hitting Will Brennan. Like, that is an official thing. They make it official. Like, now it's scored as Will Brennan's coming into the game. I think you can do whatever you want when it comes to the Browns and their pregame stuff. You can say whatever within reason. So if you just want to go, here's the Browns defense, and ladies and gentlemen, back for the first time in a year, Nick Chubb, go right on ahead and do so. Because I don't think you can announce the quarterback going out there.
No.
That's not a good start. He's a basket case already, and those home fans, oh my, wah. 216-474-0092.
I'd say they should do a shout-out to the Guardians, but people get mad when the Browns do anything on social media to wish the Guardians good luck.
Well, if it was last year and the Browns were doing well, I think they'd be okay.
Yeah.
But since they're not doing so well, and Amari Cooper just got traded, and you know Daniel Jeremiah is agreeing with me that yeah, they're going to have to draft a quarterback, and we have to figure out how much longer this whole thing with Deshaun Watson is going to go, where he's starting. Yeah, I don't think a lot of people are interested in that, to be honest with you. So they just kind of want to move on with it. Either way, Guardians won last night. Let me get to Mike in Shaker Heights. Hello, Mike.
Love you guys, man. But I don't think nobody woke up this morning and wanted to talk anything about the Browns, man. You know, it's like, what have they done to deserve any airway based on what the Guardians did last night? It was a great game, an emotional roller coaster. You know, let's dissect Classe. You know, I think Classe takes on that I'm going to challenge this batter. And the difference between his idol Rivera was Rivera would outsmart his batter. He wouldn't give him what they thought were coming. And Class A kind of just, I'm going to throw what you know I'm going to throw, beat me. And I wish he would kind of alter that a little bit, because it got us in trouble the last two series, you know. But as far as the Browns, I could care less what they do, man. I'm out on the Browns. Andrew Berry cannot pick talent. No matter what draft pick we get, he's going to blow it. I'm confident of that. And I just like trying to talk Guardians all morning, man. And I know a lot of people feel me on that, you know?
I would feel a lot of people agree with you, Mike.
I love that Mike still got a Browns taken, though.
Well, yeah.
About Andrew Berry.
Well,
I didn't want to talk about it.
Truth's the truth about it. Mike, thank you very much for the call. 216-474-0092. Like, people like the teams.
Yeah.
They're mad at one of the teams right now. They're just mad. And one team has given you an incredible performance last night out of nowhere, it seemed, like in this comeback. And the other team is, hey, man, we're trying to get this thing figured out, and we're going to put Nick Chubb out there. And I think Nick Chubb is going to protect himself. I think he's going to play well. I think if he plays, he's going to play well. I assume he's going to play and play well. But then it's like, well, what do you do against the Bengals? And I think a lot of fans are going, does it even matter? You're one in five. People are talking about the future. You know, we spent part of the podcast after the show yesterday. I mentioned Shedeur Sanders and how he's gotten better this year. Obviously, everybody knows where the hell we're going with all this and what we're talking about there. And then that becomes in its own conversation. So it's like, yeah, we know where this is headed right now. Like, they could sit there and tell you all you want about, well, you know, it's the AFC North, and we haven't played anybody in the AFC North yet, and maybe if we play, okay, I'd love to see it. Guys, I'd love to see it. But the vibes around the team don't tell me that that's going to happen right now. I don't know what's going on with Amari Cooper now that he's gone. I don't know if anybody really cares other than what type of stats he puts up and whether or not they're right or wrong, if he was tanking it on purpose, because what Mary Kay said yesterday was some very strong stuff. But if you go back to last week, Lima, you said it. There's some people who are not very thrilled. I'm hearing that there's some people in the locker room who wear jerseys who are not very thrilled with what's going on with the offense and not very thrilled with who's throwing the football.
And that stuff's only going to get worse.
Yeah, that doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. I hope they can get this thing going in the right direction. But until they get this thing going in the right direction, yeah, the Guardians are giving you way more good memories and good thoughts and good vibes than the team right now with a huge cloud hanging over its head that I've compared to prison. Simple. Go to Woody and Hudson. You're next up on the Fan. Hello, Woody.
Boys, good Friday.
Woody, I forgot. You live in Hudson. Congratulations on all your success. Go right on ahead.
Well, first off, I want to say good morning, fellas. But who we got tonight on the mound? Is it Gavin Williams? And then who do they announce for the Yankees? I'm kind of concerned.
We have Gavin Williams against Luis Gil, which is spelled G-I-L, but it's pronounced Heel.
Gil.
Yeah.
And these guys are both popping their cherries. They have not pitched in the postseason, correct?
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Biggest game of the season, and this is the situation with the guys on the mound. I mean, how could either team truly know? I mean, I both will trot out their guy and say they have confidence, but how could either team have a feel on what's going to happen tonight?
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is we got belief, and we're from Cleveland. Anything can happen. I think last night's victory with, one, the back-to-back home runs that happened with Judge and Stanton, best on best, 1-2 counts, they both go over the fence. You tip your cap. To have the fight and the charisma to come back in the ninth to tie it off a guy off the bench who hasn't done anything for 3 hours.
Their emotions. Yes, their emotions. Yeah, I mean, it's. I think it's helped us all because there did seem to be, Woody, thank you very much for the call. It seemed to be a block for them that there was lights that were too bright at Yankee Stadium. And I was frustrated by it because I'm going, guys, it's not. you've moved the building. It's not the same. It's not the house that Ruth built anymore. It's TV money. It's merchandise. You know, George Steinbrenner's passed away. It's Hal Steinbrenner. The father, the son is never like the father. Go look at Mark Davis for crying out loud. It's never the same. It's not. But I'm not the one playing in the field. I'm not the one playing for him, because you still have that problem with baseball where if you go to play a game against the Green Bay Packers, you don't stand there in awe and go, maybe someday I can play for the Green Bay Packers. You just go out there and you try to win. I do think it was a little bit this way with the Cavs going to play the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. Maybe that was a little bit embellished by us because of Donovan Mitchell. But I do think that some of that was true. But in most cases with the other sports, it's not I'm playing in this palace, this cathedral, and I need to do well in front of these guys. And it puts so much pressure on me. And it bothers me that that's the way they felt. That's why I was so happy to get them back home and why I was so devastated when it's Aaron Judge who hit the home run to tie the game. And it felt like they took the lead. And then it's Giancarlo Stanton who actually does take the lead in that baseball game.
And then nobody thought you had a chance. Everybody.
Exactly.
You could say you had belief,
exactly.
But let's be honest. Everybody, you know, there's a reason people were heading for the exits at that
point.
You
have hope. There's a difference between hope and belief. You can have hope. Please have hope. But there was a difference there with hope and belief. Now that you've won a game and it's a 2-1 series, you're going into game four. Yes, now there's a belief. Now they're okay, we've not played well. We've still done this. It's a 2-1 series. We can tie this thing up tonight.
It changes
now
everything.
There's a belief
yeah.
to it.
By the way, we knocked, how do you pronounce his name again, Kenny, the starter for the Yankees? We knocked him out of there in August in
Luis
three
Hill.
Innings. Yeah, three. Yeah. He went three innings against us, and we knocked him out of the game, and that was a 9-5. That was extra inning game that was crazy, and the Yankee, remember the newspapers yeah. the next day, New York Daily News.
That was the day Fana called me afterwards,
yes,
or us afterwards. Yeah, he was on the phone with us.
They were crushing the Yankees after that game.
Forgot that was on the air with Fana. Andrew in Eaton Township, you're next up on the Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, I know we're talking guards now, but I want to get back to the Browns. We're 0-2 at home.
Oh, Andrew, you broke up. I'm sorry about that, buddy.
0-1 on phone calls.
Seems that even his carrier doesn't want him to talk about that right now. Sorry,
bud. I think Caddy have led with the Guardians that called as a cutout.
Let me go to Peter in Perrysburg. You're next up on the Fan, the home of Jerry Glanville. Go right on ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hello, Peter.
I listened to Rihanna's We Found Love in a Hopeless Place on repeat this morning because I feel like that embodies how I felt last night. We did find love in a hopeless place. Oh, my God. What an amazing game. I am so jacked up. Honestly, I wouldn't be as nervous at all if it wasn't against the Yankees. I just hate them so damn much. I hate their arrogance. I hate that city. I hate their fans.
Wow.
I hate the whole organization. Let me tell you something. That is an overpriced, overdeveloped, overcrowded swampland that sits in the middle of a disgusting trash-filled tidal estuary that they're too stupid to recognize. They call them rivers. Okay? I am so jacked up. I hope we just kick their asses out of town and we can take care of business. Let's go, guards. And also, Ken, keep talking that sass, because the only thing New Yorkers and New York sports fans understand is arrogance. They don't understand sportsmanship. They don't understand class. So keep talking that sass, boy.
All right. Peter, thank you very much for the call. Coming up at 8 o'clock, Ed Orchid, mayor of Brook Park. Up next, we are to speak softly and carry a big stick.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing life.
My life.
Well, it was inevitable that the Guardians pull an all-timer out like that, and then some people get into it with other people that happen to be in the same industry, and in this case, Kenny, you are in the crossfire right now with some of those, the update anchor in New York City?
Yes, I stepped in it. So they have a pre-show for their very successful morning show, Geo and Boomer, or Boomer and Geo, I beg your pardon. And it's hosted by a guy named Jerry Recco and Al Dukes, who's been their longtime producer on that show.
I've met Al,
and,
yeah.
Our boss, I've not listened to it. No, it makes me feel like I'm not doing my job. Our boss sends us clips. So the Marble Mouth of Crawford County sends us a clip this morning, and it's them butchering John Kenzie Noel's name. Go ahead, hit it.
my head, I'm like, game over. Then in the ninth inning, when they score another run, could have been two, they get another run in. I'm like, this game is done, cooked. Turn my attention back to the basketball game.
They're up 5-3 at that point.
5-3.
Yeah.
And the next thing I know, I heard like a groan in the crowd. I'm like, it's kind of weird. I mean, there was nothing going on the court. And I look over and I see the guy circling the bases.
Noel.
Like, yeah, Johnski. I'm like, what?
Jablonski.
Yes.
I mean, he hit a monster shot.
Unbelievable. Jerry. But both of them were, even the Fry one was. Yeah. When he hits it, it's like, that's gone.
So I guess that's one of their gags. It's one of their bits that they do.
What? What's the bit?
They mess up names on purpose? I don't know.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt that they have no idea what
his name is. Riso?
No.
I wouldn't doubt they don't know his name.
So I didn't know that that was one of their things. It's a great bit. So anyway, Sean Marash over there at WFAN, he's on the Christmas card list. He is a good friend of mine.
We've
actually drank with Sean in this city. And so I decided to have some fun. And the only thing I did was post the video that our boss sent it to us. I said, boy, Sean Marash is one of the biggest goofballs in the history of sports radio, but at least he gets the names right. And then about an hour ago, Jerry Recco, one of the hosts, nice to see how obsessed you are with us, Ken. I've never thought about you one time ever, but appreciate that you keep listening to us. Enjoy Cleveland and the rest of your life. And I'm laughing my ass off.
Well, that was nice of him.
It was a very nice thing to say. Yeah. So then all of a sudden I'm getting texts going, they're talking about you guys on the radio over there. All right, so this is what Jerry Recco had to say about me.
This is on Boomer and Geo, their morning show on WFAN.
All right, go ahead.
I guess our sister station in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. We have an Odyssey station there. Ken Carman. Who's that?
I guess. I don't know. I guess he loves listening to me and Al.
Oh, okay. So
I said, I guess a couple days ago, I was making the case that while Cleveland's a nice story, I don't believe they're in the same league as the Yankees. I think that's pretty fair. I said they play in a division where they got to beat up on the White Sox all season, to which he then, I guess, wrote to us on Twitter. Well, no, he wrote to Al to tell me to get my head out of my ass that they only went 8-5 against the White Sox. Which,
get your head out of your ass,
which,
Jerry.
Quite frankly, is embarrassing because the White Sox lost 121 games.
Yes.
So I just wrote back, hey, great, thanks. Have a great day. Don't care.
Okay.
And now I'm getting pummeled with Twitter stuff because I guess I called John Kenzie Johnski this morning. Whatever. Having a
Johnski.
Yeah, because we do Jablonski all the time.
I called him Jablonski on purpose.
So now he's got to take the audio like we're blah, blah. They don't even know how to say the names. Like, dude, get a life. Go enjoy your lousy life in Cleveland and complain about Cleveland sports. Leave me alone. I don't give a crap about you. I don't know who you are. I don't want to know who you are. F off. How about that?
All right.
Leave me alone.
Get him, Jerry.
Oh, my God.
Got to be a Democrat.
I mean, we're so upset about our teams.
I love that. Well, we do the Jablonski thing. Oh, yeah, the Jablonski thing. Yeah, we famously do the Jablonski thing.
Yeah, we've been doing it for years.
We power rank our bets. Power rank our bits. Let's go. I'll power rank them
Jablonski,
right now.
That's Jablonski. All three spots.
Number one, Jablonski. Number two, well, it's Jablonski.
It's got it. Number three.
Followed by three. Famously, Jablonski.
I can't imagine what he does when anybody really actually is serious trying to stick it to this guy.
By the way, I love that he's like, hey, we were, we were watching the game, and then, we had paid attention to the basketball stuff. The basketball stuff? Yeah, what was the basketball
what
stuff
was
yesterday?
It? I don't know.
He was at the Rutgers-St. John's exhibition game.
Well, yeah, you got to be dialed in.
Especially, it's a big thing in Piscataway, man.
Congratulations on all your success.
Yeah, you still mess around when it comes to the rack, the famed rack.
Apparently, there's an inferiority complex we have here. I don't know. The way he reacted to that, who's the one with an inferiority complex over there? Oh, my God. Listen, I don't need to take shots at this guy. I mean, I can, and maybe I should. I'm not going to do it.
Well, we
I got what I wanted out of it. This man has clearly worked into a shoot that he is never going to get himself unworked from, so I'm good with this. This is good stuff.
When the others go low, Kenny, we don't need to go lower. That's not this show. We're celebrating the win. We are celebrating a great win.
The state of our city is strong, and we're just getting started.
I get to go to high school football games tonight and shake people's hands and be on TV. I'm living pretty good in Cleveland, Ohio. I got to tell you. A lot of people are happy to see me when I show up to a football stadium and at high school stadiums in Cleveland, Ohio. It's a lot of fun for me.
Wait,
I kind of like it.
You don't think when Recco goes and does one of the women's basketball games at Rutgers, you don't think he's like the mayor
I'm sure.
in Piscataway?
I'm sure he works the room. I'm sure he doesn't.
When they do those halftime shows with like the volleyball coach during the game, we'll get you back to the second half action of the women's basketball game. But first, here's the associate athletic director of Rutgers that we have to talk to for 10 minutes. You don't think that makes him a popular guy there on campus?
My buddy is going to be the grand marshal at the Burton Country Hearth Christmas Parade coming up on Black Friday, and I'm going to be there with him, meaning Anthony. And I get to shake a lot of hands and take a lot of pictures and be with a lot of people. I got it pretty good here. I'm not lying. This is not a lie. This is a shoot. I got it pretty damn. I'll tell you that right now. I got it pretty good here, Jerry. Kind of like it. More than happy. Whew. Somebody. I don't know. Maybe he ain't happy with his career. I don't know.
Well, that's silly. That's silly. A lot of people aspire to get to those levels of being able to do Rutgers. Why wouldn't he be happy with his career?
Now, come on now.
They're a Big Ten institution.
Rutgers is a big, exactly. Yeah. It's a Big Ten school. Come on. Let's be respectful here.
And I think they've asked him to do the field hockey when they make the playoffs, but only when they make the playoffs.
Only when they make the playoffs. Yeah. Well, that's why you root for Scarlet Knight's success.
Didn't they invent football?
Apparently.
Now, I don't think he gets to do the football, though, but that would be
No, that's
cool.
Chris Carlin, ain't
yeah,
it?
That's Carlin.
Now, he's good.
That guy is good.
He's
you know
good.
What? He is good.
There's no shots taken there. That's a shoot.
I enjoy him.